The following Northwest Regional News Story was produced in cooperation with a consortium of public radio stations in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho.
Washington State has confirmed its first homegrown infection of West Nile virus. Until now, Washington was the only state in the lower 48 without a human case of the potentially fatal mosquito-borne disease. Correspondent Tom Bonsi has more.
A Washington couple, husband and wife, both fell ill at their rural home near Gig Harbor. The woman is listed as a probable case of West Nile virus. Blood tests on the man confirm he got it. Washington State epidemiologist Dr. Joe Hoffman says the man in his 40s has recovered.
This was a person who had a very mild illness, a fever and rash, and was not seriously ill. And apparently their doctor just decided to test them for West Nile. And lo and behold, it was positive.
Dr. Hoffman says the local case means Washington residents need to take seriously the longstanding advice.
Now people really do have to use insect repellent, wear long sleeves, and avoid mosquito exposure.
Hoffman worries Washington could follow in Idaho's footsteps next year. A West Nile outbreak has sickened more than 300 people and killed 5 in Idaho this summer. I'm Tom Bonsi in Olympia.
Nuclear waste cleanup at Hanford is a complicated task. When one part of the project breaks down, others are delayed. Concerns are growing about the Department of Energy's ability to remove millions of gallons of highly radioactive waste stored in underground tanks, some of which have leaked. Correspondent Kathy Ducharme reports.
Tank cleanup at Hanford works like this. Radioactive liquid stored in old underground tanks is emptied into newer, stronger double-shelled tanks. Then it's piped into a plant that turns the waste into glass. But wait, that plant doesn't exist yet. It won't for 13 years.
The delay in the waste treatment plant is having ripple effects all throughout the program.
Todd Martin leads the Hanford Advisory Board.
As citizens of the Northwest, we no longer have a very comprehensive, credible plan for retrieving, treating, and disposing all of Hanford's tank waste.
Martin fears that the double-shell tanks will wear out before the waste treatment plant opens in 2019, sending radioactive waste into the nearby Columbia River. Jerry Long with contractor CH2M Hill says there's a corrosion control plan in place.
We actually have these tanks in our program reviewed by an independent registered qualified professional engineer. That's one of our requirements. He comes in and looks at what we do. We take his recommendations and we take the actions on those to ensure that our tanks will last long enough to support the mission.
The mission calls for tank waste to be retrieved, treated, and disposed of by 2028. I'm Kathy Ducharme reporting.
A timber town near the Washington coast will start to lose 20% of its tax base on Monday. That's when the Weyerhaeuser pulp mill closes in the city of Cosmopolis. 180 people will lose their jobs. Community leaders have been working with the governor's office to find a buyer for the mill. Cosmopolis Mayor Vicky Raines says Evergreen Pulp, based in Northern California, remains a prospect.
I have been requesting data from Weyerhaeuser. And at this point, I find that very encouraging that it isn't, they didn't come visit and a week later or 2 weeks later say, you know, this isn't a good fit. It's something that, I believe is being pursued aggressively.
Another option is converting the mill to an ethanol plant. A study funded by the governor's office says ethanol can be made from wood sugars instead of the usual source, corn. A community meeting held Wednesday night discussed how the mill closure would affect city services. Enrollments at university campuses on the Palouse are down this year. Glenn Mosley reports.
Officials at Washington State University and the University of Idaho have known for some time that enrollments on their Pullman and Moscow campuses would be down a bit this fall. Applications were down last spring, for example. And so at WSU, the Pullman enrollment numbers are down just over 1%, while at the U of I in Moscow, the numbers are down about 5%. Those numbers have university presidents like Idaho's Tim White and WSU's V. Lane Rollins concerned.
Gives me pause as a member of society to wonder why, and you know, if we're going to, are we missing students or are there better opportunities? And we have to take this pretty seriously.
We're going to have a generation less educated than their parents unless we flip this over.
Both presidents stress that the problem is not unique to their universities. Other states have the same problem. The good news for these universities is that enrollment numbers are up at some branch campuses, and officials say they are studying issues such as cost to see why the enrollment numbers are down on their main campuses. I'm Glenn Mosley.
There are worrisome signs for the upcoming ski season. Climate scientists with the National Weather Service see El Niño conditions developing over the ocean. Correspondent Tom Bonsi explains what that means for our weather.
El Niño is the name for a warming pattern in the tropical Pacific Ocean. The phenomenon affects weather around the globe. Atmospheric scientist Cliff Mass at the University of Washington says the consequences for us include warmer than average temps.
It does look like that this winter will probably be less stormy because of El Niño. There'll probably be a bit less snow than normal. Precipitation, it tends to be maybe a little bit drier.
Southern California and the Southwest will likely get some of our rain. Mass says this El Niño is still revving up.
With increasing confidence, it looks like this will not be a great winter for skiing in the mountains, and certainly won't be a good winter for snow in the lowlands.
Mass says the El Niño pattern typically lasts one or two winters, and then we switch out of it. He says you can't blame it for the unusually dry summer we've had. I'm Tom Botsy in Olympia.
Candidates for Idaho's open congressional seat are taking sides in the debate over establishing English as the official language of the United States government. Correspondent Elizabeth Wynne Johnson reports.
Supporters of a national English-only bill say English speakers get better jobs, earn more money, and depend less on government services. This week, Idaho Republican Bill Sally endorsed the measure. His campaign notes that a law requiring all government materials to be English-only would allow exceptions in areas such as public health and safety. Democratic candidate Larry Grant says Sally's English-only message is a diversionary tactic.
We've got a war going on in Iraq. We've got budget deficits that are sky high. Corruption is rampant. We need to talk about education. We need to talk about jobs. We need to talk about health care.
Sally is a controversial and staunchly conservative state lawmaker. Grant is a former executive at Micron. He's hoping to garner support from disillusioned Republican voters. I'm Elizabeth Wynne Johnson reporting.